Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Beautiful spring day and IU football spring game tonight at 8 o'clock. If you aren't going to Bloomington for the game, you can watch it on the Big Ten Network. We'll actually talk a little football coming up here in just a few moments. So the spring game tonight should be a lot of fun because it's the first year for Coach Cignetti and his new coaching staff and so many new players and just a lot of unknown. But definitely like what I hear from Coach Sig, and it's going to be interesting to see what he can get put together in time for year one. So the spring game tonight, really just a total crapshoot, a total opportunity to kind of get to start to know what IU football is and what they could be. But golly, with so many new coaches and new faces, it's going to a spring game opportunity, a scrimmage opportunity really isn't going to tell you a whole bunch. But excited that it's here and excited to follow IU football this offseason and see what can happen in year one under a new coaching staff who appear to be completely opposite in the way they go about business from Coach Allen, whether that's right or wrong. I think that definitely is the perception that has been given off, and that definitely is what is happening internally with the team. So we will see how IU football progresses, but an interesting few months ahead as we get into college football in August, or I guess late August and September, the season will be here. Let's look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, in just a few moments, we're supposed to have Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, the IU football writer. We'll see if we're able to connect with him. If so, we'll talk more about the upcoming spring game. Later in the show, Thursday, Alex Bozich is always with us of InsideTheHall.com. Lots to get to with Alex. Some great new additions for Mike Woodson from the transfer portal. And the good news is Indiana not done yet. They are still very involved with some other big, big names in the portal. In fact, people think some of these recruiting guys, college basketball analysts, they think Indiana's not near done striking the transfer portal for some real talent. So we'll talk with Alex about that, some of the new additions and who's still out there. Also later today, Steve Kerberg, former high school basketball coach in the area and a great friend of the show. He will join us to talk some high school basketball, really local basketball here in the offseason, and we'll catch up with him later today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out Honey Baked Ham today for great sandwiches and salads and soups that are all made fresh daily. They'll surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. So give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Love to hear from you. Questions, comments. Are you going to the spring football game in Bloomington tonight? The weather should be great. What are your thoughts on this upcoming season? Gosh, so much unknown with IU football, but what are your expectations? 502-414-1450 is the number. Again, 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line. All fountain drinks and fizz freeze drinks are just 89 cents at all area Thornton's locations. Enjoy your favorite fountain drink at any size or a cold, delicious fizz freeze for just 89 cents. And again, send us a text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Supposed to have Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Justin, producer, tells us that we haven't connected with him yet. So, Justin, I'll bring you on because I was sick for a few days. We had some bats baseball during the day that knocked me off the air for a few days, but back yesterday, back today, and for the rest of the week, and hopefully getting back into a normal radio schedule. It has been a while since we had an opportunity to catch up.
It has been, yeah. Welcome back, first of all.
Lots of news, lots of good things going on, brewing for IU basketball, some really big additions. We touched on them yesterday, Justin. Really haven't had a chance to get into who these players are and what their games could mean for Indiana next year, but I think one thing is for sure, Indiana is one of the top-performing teams out of the transfer portal, at least at this point, early point of the offseason.
Yeah, and it makes it a lot of fun, right? So I was worried about this roster, how it was going to shape up at the end of the season, because, as you know, no recruits coming in from the high school level, so that was a little bit alarming to me. But hitting the transfer portal, man, I never realized how fun it could be. This been a blast following all these guys, seeing who Indiana's targeting, and not only all that, but having success out of the transfer portal, getting a guy like Balo, getting a guy like Miles Rice. It's just been a lot of fun to follow. I never thought that I would enjoy being a fan of a team that's going to attack the transfer portal like Mike Woodson and the Hoosiers have this offseason, but it's made it a real good time to follow.
Also, some news a little earlier today, Indiana made it official that they have signed Bryson Tucker, who was the really big pickup from the class of 2024, a late commitment from to the Hoosiers, and Mike Woodson able to make some comments on him today now that his national letter of intent is now official. So you put Tucker in with this good transfer portal class, and again, Indiana's not near done with the portal, I don't think, at this point, but obviously some really good things going on for Indiana. I continue to be really hopeful and really excited for what even Tucker, as a freshman — I know freshmen aren't the hip thing right now in college basketball, it's older players, transfer portal incoming additions — but I still remain very hopeful what he might be able to add to Indiana, even as a freshman next season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is when you look at this team as a whole, there's so many exciting pieces, and I don't really know. I'll be honest, I don't know what Bryson Tucker's going to bring to the table. Hopefully he'll be able to provide good minutes, do some good things out on the court, but that's the thing with Indiana and the way they're hitting this portal and all the returnees they have off last year's team, is it feels like they are really set up for success. And I don't want to get too optimistic here in the offseason, but like you said, I mean, they're still going to attack the portal. I think they've got four, maybe even five scholarships to still fill. So, yeah, hopefully they're able to get some good pieces out of the portal to pair with the guys that are already in Bloomington and see if they can put together a really good team for next season. But to say I'm not excited about the way this offseason has shaped up would be a complete lie. I mean, I'm very excited going into next season, and we're not even done yet. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun looking forward to next season and just seeing how all this shakes out. But, yeah, Bryson Tucker definitely will be one of those guys that can help out this team. So we'll see what he brings to the table. I wasn't ultimately blown all that far away when I watched the McDonald's All-American game, but, I mean, that's an all-star game. So, yeah, you can't read too much into that.
Justin, I tell you what, the end of the IU season, the Hoosiers won — how many was it in a row? Do you remember?
Was it six?
I think it was. Obviously, it didn't end great. The blowout loss, you know, Nebraska was splashing threes from all over the floor. That was disappointing, but a really good close to the season for the Hoosiers. A really good off season so far, picking up Tucker, and then obviously some other big gets from the transfer portal. You know, fans were — we heard it, text line, out in the community, those kind of things. Fans were ready for Woodson, I think, generally, to be gone. But that winning streak at the end and now the transfer portal, I think, has maybe quelled things a little bit, at least until we get back into basketball and the Hoosiers are either winning or losing games. How do you feel the average IU fan at this point now feels about Mike Woodson and his return for the upcoming season?
For me, it's one of those things that we kind of just have to sit back and see how this all plays out. I mean, anytime that you're attacking the portal like this and you're just bringing in so many new faces, there really is that unknown in terms of the team. You don't really know what to expect out of that, but you'd like to think with the returning guys coming back, the Malik Renews, the Mackenzie Mbakos, the Trey Galloway, Anthony Leals of the world, they can hopefully help integrate the guys from the transfer portal, which in turn you would like to think should turn into wins. So as long as Indiana and Mike Woodson are winning basketball games, I think the heat will stay down for Mike Woodson. Now, if they come out and they lose five of their first 10 or whatever, obviously it's going to grow louder and louder. But I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know that Mike Woodson's willing to step back and be like, I'm just not. I mean, he's going to have success. He's always been driven by success. So I think that's going to be something that he continues to strive for. But we'll see if it pans out. Like I said, though, if Indiana's winning games, I think the expectations of the fan base will stay in check for the most part.
Justin Kalen. And, you know, somebody called me out the other day, Justin. I forget who it was. They said, you're the only person on the Big X that has a show that calls Justin and not Scoops.
That's true.
So maybe I'm out of line there. Maybe I've just got it uniquely the right way. I don't know. But nonetheless, I think we'll go with Scoots. That's right. You're known as Scoots.
I am.
We're
going to
go with that.
No, so, I'm good with whatever you want to call me.
I want to talk a little bit about the coaching carousel. We're an IU-focused show, Southern Indiana. We know our niche audience, so we're going to stay in our lane the most that we can. But you know, the Louisville and Kentucky coaching searches, I think, were very educational for us Indiana people, whether that's a media person or a fan. And let's go back to when Tom Crean was out and Archie Miller was in, and then let's go back to when Mike Woodson came in. There was a long list, at least a handful of big names that Indiana fans really wanted. They're the names that we talked about a lot on this show. They're the names that fans brought up a lot on social media and the discussion forums, and they just didn't work out. And I'll never forget, I got a buddy who's a great IU fan. He's a good guy, a very successful professional human being. But, you know, he was convinced that Billy Donovan was in Bloomington and was inside of Cook Hall because somebody, like, photoshopped this graphic of Billy and his face inside of the door, you know, standing there talking to other people. But he was convinced that Indiana was going to be the college that was able to bring Billy Donovan back from the professional game. And that's when Billy was, I guess, at Oklahoma City, and maybe things were, I mean, the Bulls were in, or I guess technically are in playoff contention right now in the play-in tournament. But that's when Oklahoma City, I think, was pretty good. So, you know, Indiana didn't get Billy Donovan and didn't have a chance of getting Billy Donovan. There were other big names. Brad Stevens, obviously, was the really big one. But Indiana struck out on those. I'm sure there were some reaches, connections made to agents to gauge if it was possible or not. And Indiana had to settle for a young and up-and-coming mid-major coach at the time, Archie Miller, and it did not work out. We all know that. And in this most recent coaching search, when maybe some of the biggest of the big names in college basketball didn't work out, Indiana chose this time to go the path of Bob Knight and former player and bring in Mike Woodson. And so, you know, both of those pathways make sense. Archie didn't work out. Woodson still to be determined. Now let's look at Louisville and Kentucky. Louisville, all these big names. Strike out. They end up with Pat Kelsey. Fans are so disappointed. After Pat Kelsey's first press conference, everybody in the city of Louisville is on board with Pat Kelsey now. I was at the Louisville baseball game on Saturday. He was there, shaking hands like a politician. Everybody wanted to meet him. Everybody wanted their picture with Pat Kelsey. This is a guy just a few weeks ago that people were bummed out for 24 hours or so that he was the hire for that program. Then let's go to Kentucky. Cal goes to Arkansas. I think it's a great move for Calipari. Kentucky fans, they go after three or four big names, including Coach Hurley at UConn, Billy Donovan, another one of those names, Scott Drew at Baylor, another name. They don't work out. They end up with Mark Pope, a guy that's had a good career in mid-major to mid-major plus college basketball, former player, intelligent dude, good personality. People are disappointed. He has his opening press conference. By that time, Rupp Arena full for the press conference. And now both of these guys, Kelsey and Pope, are off and running to be determined how they do at their respective schools. But Justin, Scoots, this coaching carousel here that we've been through in Kentuckiana this year has told me one thing, that you can swing for the skies. Often it's not going to work out, but hiring college basketball coaches at these big blue blood programs, and I'll say that generally Kentucky is the best of the blue bloods locally right now. I'm going to say Indiana and Louisville are about neck and neck. Indiana a little higher on the scale than what Louisville is currently and probably all time. But neither here nor there. it's hard to get these big name guys. It often doesn't work. And there's so many changes in the college game where you can win other places now. Other people have resources that they can bring to the table to make other jobs more attractive now. It's hard to get who you want going into these coaches' searches, and Louisville and Kentucky were the two latest examples of that.
Well, not only are they hard to get, but it's not I don't feel it as a requirement anymore, especially no matter what your thoughts are on the transfer portal. Any coach can come in and get good pieces out of the transfer portal and assemble a good team. So if anything, I think the transfer portal has kind of evened up the game of college basketball. So yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate you couldn't get those big name guys. There are always going to be big name guys out there, but I don't think that's necessarily part of the – you don't have to go out and do that anymore, like I said. I mean, you can build through the transfer portal with just about any coach that you bring in.
All right, Justin, I'm just now seeing that Matt Weaver is on the phone line. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com football writer, joining us on the day of the spring game. Matt, thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys. Apologize for the delay, but thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Glad to get you with us. It'll be a short segment, but that's okay. Let's dig in tonight. Coach Cignetti makes his debut. I love it. Good weather. Spring game. It's been years since Indiana had a spring game, I believe. And under Coach Allen, the last couple of years, there really wasn't even an open spring practice or two for fans to attend. So some excitement as we transition from basketball to football. Matt, you're the IU football guy. What are you going to be watching for tonight under this new coaching regime?
Well, I mean, obviously, like a lot of people, I'll be watching quarterback. I mean, it sounds like, you know, from what Coach Cignetti has said in press conferences, Curtis Rourke has, you know, separated himself. But, you know, what you know, how he looks, you know, how the, you know, the receivers and running backs look to be a real strength for this team. You know, how do they look? I mean, the offense, you know, in spring games, it's going to be vanilla. You know, they're not going to show their hand at all. But, you know, just how do they look, you know, from play to play? You know, the offensive line, how it's coming along. They made, you know, obviously strides last year under Coach Bostad, and can they continue that? And then defensively, they've got a number of guys out, you know, who are missing spring ball, like probably three or four starters, I believe, or guys that at least be heavily in the mix for playing time. So, you know, maybe some of these young guys, has anybody kind of stepped up and, you know, opened some eyes that and shown that they can be a contributor in the fall? But, you know, just looking for, it's one of those things where obviously the spring game, you're going against each other. So if one side looks good, then it's kind of a good news, bad news thing. So, you know, looking for some back and forth, hoping some both sides make some plays, and it's, you know, a competitive game, and, you know, there's reason to, you know, continue the optimism that everybody's had since Coach Cignetti was hired.
Matt, I'm curious, what is the fan interest in Bloomington? It's good weather. I think people are itching to get out and see the new head coach and this new team, a lot of new faces and a lot of question marks, as you mentioned. What do you think the environment will be like tonight for this first spring game in a long time in Bloomington? Will there be tailgating? Will there be a decent crowd in Memorial Stadium? What's the expectation and the feel you're getting from some of the IU football diehard fans?
Yeah, I mean, I assume that tailgating is going to be okay. I think somebody might have said it's maybe only in the parking lots, not on the grass, but I could be wrong on that. But I would assume there'll be some and expect some people to be tailgating. You know, I would think that it'll be, you know, I mean, listen, Indiana doesn't get huge crowds for spring games. They're not going to have, you know, 30, 40, 50,000 people. But I would think, you know, you said there hasn't been a spring game. Well, I think it's been 5 years since there's been a spring game in Indiana. That's a long time. So I would think that, you know, you'll probably get some people beat on a Thursday night. Maybe you get some students in there. You know, and obviously it's tough for people coming from out of town, but hopefully some people come from out of town, Indianapolis and the surrounding areas, and watch them. But, you know, I think there's definitely a lot of intrigue, a lot of interest in what this program is going to look like under this new staff.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, the IU football writer for Pigs, joining us here on this Thursday show. Now, Matt, the game is available on the Big Ten Network, right? So fans will be able to watch from home and take this game in and learn more about Coach Sig, even if they can't make the trip to Bloomington.
Yeah, my understanding is that it will be shown live at 8:00 on the Big Ten Network. I hope I'm not mistaken on that, but I'm pretty sure that's correct, that it will be shown live, and the game is going to be 8:00. I think 2 15-minute halves is how they're going to do it, and there's a breakdown of scoring on the IU site, how they're going to do the scoring, offense against defense. So, but yeah, people should be able to watch it if they're not able to attend in person.
All right, great stuff. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. We'll have you back next week to recap things and get some thoughts as we work through the spring. Final quick hitter as we let you go. maybe just an overview of Big Ten Conference football for next year. I know there's new teams coming in, coaches coming and going, lots of players obviously coming and going with the transfer portal, just as crazy in the football world as it is the basketball world. Early expectations, Matt, of the conference overall?
Well, yeah, it's obviously you're adding, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, USC, so teams that we know about but haven't really paid attention to. Coaching changes at Washington and UCLA. USC's obviously usually pretty good. Oregon's had a really good year last year. You know, I think the returning teams, I think Ohio State's poised to kind of go back to the top of the league with the, you know, Harbaugh leaving and all the departures they've had there and the changes in the Michigan program. And it sounds like Ohio State's got a really good team from what people have been saying. So, it's going to be different with no East and West. You have all these teams and there's no divisions anymore. So, you know, it'll be interesting. Indiana's got a favorable schedule, as we've talked about in the past. And I think they've got a real chance to get to 6, 7, 8 wins and get back into postseason play.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. You can follow him on social media on Twitter at MB_Weaver. He is our go-to guy for IU football, and he's been with us since the very beginning of this show. Matt, we'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week and weekend.
All right. As we head to a commercial break, I do want to mention this. Yesterday, Greater Clark County Schools and Jeffersonville High School had a groundbreaking for a new pool at Jeffersonville High School. 50-meter stretch, 10 lanes, going to seat up to 1,000 fans. Also will include brand-new locker rooms that will accommodate the football teams, track, swimming teams as well. I saw some video, some renderings of this project. This is going to be a game-changer for Jeffersonville High School and probably for swimming in the Jeff community and beyond. It is just going to be an unbelievable natatorium project. Jeff's pool, 50 years old, I saw in the release from the school system, but this is an unbelievable athletic upgrade to the Jeffersonville campus. And speaking of Jeff and New Albany, they played in baseball last night, and the Red Devils with a big win as we approach the middle part of the season. Jeffersonville, a 9-0 victory last night. Caden White was the winning pitcher for the Red Devils, and lots of hitting in the game last night for Jeffersonville as well. Jeff now 5-3 on the season, and New Albany 6-4 on the year, so both very comparable in their schedules and their successes and losses so far. But Floyd Central continues to be a team to watch, and I think Silver Creek having a really good season as well locally in high school baseball. So we'll be a little closer with some of that stuff in the next couple weeks as we get out and have a broadcast of some of the rivalry games and, of course, get ready for the sectionals coming up as well. We'll head to a commercial break. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Love to hear your questions, comments, thoughts. We've got Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us after the break, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Thursday show, Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line. Love to get your questions and comments. And Alex, just before we came on the air today, Indiana makes it official that they have signed Bryson Tucker for the upcoming season, which means that Mike Woodson can speak about him. And Coach Woodson said, quote, "Bryson has a chance to be impactful for our ball club right away. He has a polished offensive game with the size and strength to get his spots on the floor. His mid-range game is impressive, and he has the athleticism to get to and score efficiently at the rim. He is a talented young man that we cannot wait to work with when he gets to campus. Again, that's Mike Woodson on Bryson Tucker, who was signed just earlier today officially by Indiana for the upcoming season. A big addition, Alex, we've talked about him. He wasn't impressive in the McDonald's All-American game. I don't know what the situation was. He didn't get a lot of minutes, and he really did not get a lot of touches. I think he just attempted one shot. But he is someone, going back and looking at some of his footage from this past season, it's hard to see him not being a contributor, even as a freshman in this new age of older college basketball teams. I think he could have a big impact for Indiana, even in year number one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with all the transfer portal talk, he's kind of fallen under the radar a little bit, Matt. It's, you know, everyone's focused on the portal, but he did just commit to Indiana on March 28th. It kind of came out of nowhere in terms of, you know, there was an expectation that he would go to G League Ignite, and then when that shut down, the focus changed to college, and it sounds like he had a great visit to Bloomington, and obviously there's a existing relationship there with Kenya Hunter, and Indiana was able to reel him in. Yeah, I did watch a little bit of that McDonald's game, and you're right, he didn't really get much of an opportunity to showcase himself. I felt like in that game, and it was kind of the same thing with Liam McNeely. We know he's a great player. He didn't get many shots either. I kind of felt like that game going in, there was going to be a couple guys from each team that were going to take the reins, and those were going to be the guys that tried to do things, and everyone else was just kind of on their own trying to find an opportunity to make an impact. And Tucker, unfortunately for him, in that game, not really the best way to showcase himself. The other thing about him is he didn't play AAU, so there's not a ton of film on him out there. And there's obviously a bunch of high school film, and I posted a couple weeks ago after he committed a pretty lengthy highlight reel over on the Inside the Hall YouTube channel. If you haven't had a chance to see him play, I think that gives a pretty good representation of what his game's going to be. But in terms of the impact for next season, you know, I think – the quality of depth on Indiana's roster should be substantially improved. Now, you know, this is something we've talked about in years past, and I think we've kind of fallen in the trap of saying, well, you know, they do have 10 or 11 guys that can actually play, but you look at what's coming in, at least on paper, and what's going out. Obviously, the loss of Khalil Ware is a big deal from a talent perspective. He was Indiana's best player last year, but the other guys who are leaving, Xavier Johnson, obviously, was a guy that played a ton of minutes, but he's leaving, but his inability to stay healthy made him relatively inconsistent over the last couple of seasons. And then the other guys who have transferred out, I think what they're bringing in so far, they've been able to upgrade the talent level, and I think Bryson Tucker is a part of that. You know, I don't think there's huge expectations for him next season as a freshman. He's almost assuredly going to be a guy, I think, at least, that comes off the bench, but maybe he can be one of those freshman that comes in, gives you, you know, 15 minutes a game off the bench, provides a scoring punch. It sounds like he's a guy that is going to be more college ready defensively than maybe what we saw from McKenzie and Mbako. So when you can get a five-star prospect this late in the process, a guy that's ranked, you know, consensus top 25, top 30, I think he always takes that opportunity, and then hopefully he's somebody that's able to improve over the course of his freshman season and provide some positive minutes off the bench.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, let's also get into IU's two latest additions from the transfer portal. Miles Rice, he was the Pac-12 player, freshman of the year this past season, and a guard coming in, obviously, with big expectations on what he can add to this Indiana roster. I know you've had a chance to look at highlights, break down some of his film. What's a scouting report on him on what he could look like in an Indiana jersey next year?
I think the first thing that stands out is just where he scores primarily. I know his three-point percentage is something that people have talked about and tried to pick apart a little bit, but he actually had a stretch there kind of later in the season where he kind of just went in a slump, and his numbers suffered as a result. I think he can be more mid-30s in terms of three-point percentage next year. Which I think is a pretty solid percentage. You know, if you can shoot 35-36% minimum from three, I think that's a pretty solid number that you'd be happy with. But he shot twos really efficiently. He does like to take a lot of mid-range shots, which Indiana, not my favorite shot in the book, but they do like to take a lot of those mid-range jumpers. He excels at that. He can finish at the rim. Pretty good distributor. You know, when last year was a third year in college, but he was a freshman. Obviously, it's been well documented kind of what he went through off the court with cancer and having to go through chemotherapy. You know, I think it's, you know, having his health now back in order and having a, you know, a full off season to be able to maybe put a little weight on, a little strength, I think that'll help him a lot, and with his endurance and just kind of feeling even better next year than he did last year. Obviously had a great season, but anytime you can add from a major conference, the freshman of the year, a guy that was first team all league, now in the Pac-12, you know, their all league team is a 10 player team. So he was first team all Pac-12. I don't know if that would have been the same if the Oilers would have named five players, but either way, that's kind of equivalent to first or second team all Big Ten. He's going to be an impact guy from day one. The expectation, at least from everything I'm hearing, is that he'll be Indiana's one of their lead guards in the starting lineup from day one. And, you know, he's, depending on where you look in terms of some of these rankings, I know the transfer portal rankings are a complete crapshoot, but there's been a lot of talk that he's one of the 10 or 15 best players available in the portal. So a really good addition from Indiana, a really good way to start off the commitments from the portal.
Also, we got to talk about Omar Ballo, 7-footer, 260-pound center. He's a monster of a player, comes from Arizona, and I had multiple texts from friends that were in Vegas when Indiana and Arizona played and said, you know, golly, this guy is a load to handle and a welcomed addition to Indiana. Your thoughts on him? Mike Woodson loves his big men. I don't think there's any question about that. He's one of the top guys. Ballo is coming out of the portal. So Indiana so far with two big names from the portal. How does Ballo fit in, and how dominant of a player maybe could he be at Indiana?
Yeah, I think there's a portion of the fan base that wanted Indiana to get away from playing two bigs. The problem with that in terms of just what they already had in Malik Renew is that I don't necessarily think Malik Renew is a good fit at the five, because his rebounding is not great. You look at his numbers in terms of where he was at percentage-wise, defensive and offensive rebounding within the Big Ten. He wasn't one of the better bigs in terms of rebounding. He's not much of a shot-blocking presence. So he's too talented of a player to keep off the floor. So he's going to have to play at the four. You give up some things defensively with that, and you hope that, you know, I think he made 15 threes last year. You hope that he can continue to maybe add a little bit there to his game, so it's not such a situation where you got two bigs in the paint at all times. But if you're going to go out and go get a five out of the portal, Umar Ballo is among the best names that was out there. As you mentioned, Matt, just a physical specimen, a load to handle down there in the paint, averaged the double-double, just physically manhandles a lot of people. I mean, when you get into the meat of the Big Ten schedule, you're going to go against a lot of good big men, and Indiana's going to have among the best. There's not going to be Zach Edey in the paint next year to bully other guys. He's going to be one of the better bigs from day one in the Big Ten. The thing that really stood out to me watching this film, I didn't watch a ton of Arizona, so I went back and watched some highlights. He moves better than I anticipated for a guy who's, you know, 7 foot and 260 pounds. You don't expect him to be all that agile, but he does move pretty well. Likes to play in the pick and roll, so maybe that's something he can get going with Miles Rice, to where, you know, it's an idea where, you know, you find him out of the ball screen situations, where you find a shooter like a McKenzie and Baco on the wing. So Ballo is just a beast of a rebounder. I think he ranked in the top 15 or 20 in both offensive and defensive rebounding percentages in the country. I think he's the best offensive rebounder in the Pac-12. So he's an instant impact guy. One thing about him is not a great free throw shooter. And also with his minutes, I think he only played about 25 a game. So there's going to be opportunity for Indiana to mix and match some lineups, maybe go smaller at times, because Ballo is simply not going to be able to play the amount of minutes that we saw Khalil Ware or even Trace Jackson Davis in previous seasons play.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's with us Thursdays on the show. Thornton's text line, a couple questions here on Ballo. Texter says, with Ballo in the fold, aren't we stuck going the same style of play as last season? I think you touched on that some. And Texter says, don't we need more shooters to complement Ballo? So maybe a little bit more on those two questions, Alex.
Yeah, in terms of the style of play, as you mentioned, Matt, I think I covered that. You know, I think going just back to what I said, reiterating, I don't think you can play Malik Renew at the five. I just think you give up too much defensively and on the glass there to do that. you wouldn't have really much of a shot blocking presence at all. And another thing is Renew, his foul problems were so bad, particularly late in the season, that I just don't think he's equipped to play there at the five. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they should have tried it, but the staff is going to go in the direction that they are, and this is kind of what they're going to roll with. So we'll see how it works out. In terms of the shooting piece, absolutely, they need to add more shooting. Although I'll couch that with saying, let's see what happens with Carlisle, the transfer from Stanford. I think he's a guy that projects as a pretty good shooter. Had an up and down season last year. He was just a freshman at Stanford. We'll see if he comes into the fold here in the next couple of weeks. He's a guy that a lot of people think could be headed to Indiana. Miles Rice can help in the shooting department, I think, by having another off season and getting to work there. But the guy really that I look at from a shooting perspective, I think that has a chance to really take it up a level. You look at his shooting splits in the Big Ten specifically, McKenzie and Baca was in that 35-36% range on threes in Big Ten play. He got better as the season went along. I think he's going to have better overall talent with him on the floor next year with adding better guards, and I think there's going to be opportunities for him to get some shots. But does Indiana need to go get a shooter from the portal to add for depth purposes? I think they do, but we'll see. You know, obviously they traveled with Connor Hickman. He, the Bloomington South product, ends up transferring from Bradley to Cincinnati. Obviously, they're trying right now with Connor Asijan, the Central Noble kid who went to Wisconsin and is now on the transfer portal, but there's other schools that are after him as well. So it's competitive to try to find shooters. I think Indiana's going to keep trying to knock on as many doors there and find somebody that can help them. But the other thing you have to keep in mind is as these roster spots start filling up, guys are going to look at Indiana's situation and say, well, their starting lineup is mostly full at this point, and they're also going to have guys like, you know, Trey Galloway back and Bryson Tucker coming in. Is there going to be an opportunity for me to play the amount of minutes? I think that's probably one thing that hurt him a little bit with Connor Hickman was, all the talk about Carlisle likely coming to IU. You got Miles Rice, you got Galloway, you got Tucker, you got Ja'Kai Newton potentially trying to get some minutes. You got Gabe Cupps. I mean, the minutes crunch is a real thing, and it's going to be, I think, harder as they get down to these final two or three spots to find guys who maybe are as highly touted. You're going to have to find some role players and find some guys that are willing to maybe take a lesser role than some of the more highly touted guys in the portal.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, with us Thursdays on the show. Alex, good insight, as always, on the Hoosiers, and I think a lot of activity still ahead. Indiana is rumored to be really in with some guys in the portal now, and we know that the portal is just heating up. So we'll talk with you again next week and see where the roster stands for the next college basketball season.
Absolutely, Matt. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you. Alex Bozich with us on Thursdays. We'll head to a quick break. We're back with Steve Kerberg, former high school basketball coach in the area. We'll talk some summer hoops and more coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Thursday show. You missed the live show and want to hear the podcast, all you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll find us there. You can listen on demand. And, of course, we love it when you're live with us here on the Big X weekdays in the 11 a.m. hour on 1450 a.m., 96.1 FM, and streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. Steve Kerberg, former high school basketball coach in the area, he joins us Thursdays as we talk basketball, primarily from a local perspective. And Coach Kerberg right now All attention is on the off season, which is probably boring for the fans, but it is so important behind the scenes what goes on this time of year for the development of players on an individual basis and, of course, teams as well for next season. And teams can already twice a week get together, do workouts, and even get on the court for a couple hours a day for practices.
Yeah, this is when you get good, man. I really believe that. It's when you actually improve as a player and make those big jumps in your game. And there's a lot of benefits to, obviously, to teams being able to work out together this early in the year. I think a big emphasis should be on skill work and player development at this time, obviously, instead of more X's and O's and strategies and those kind of things. But you can, this is a time to really get good. And then from a team perspective, to be able to play, I know my last year as a head coach at Christian Academy, we played 30 games one June in the summer. And I know they've limited it some now. I don't know all the rules on all the limitations now, but I know one thing that I struggled with as a coach was there was always a tension on how to get, players that were college prospects, you know, how to put them in a position to be successful. You know, you may have a kid that, for example, you may have a kid that could dominate in the post, but in the college level, he's going to be a perimeter player. So you know, obviously you're putting the team first and you want to win basketball games first, but how do you showcase that kid and put him in a position to be successful at the next level without sacrificing your success at the high school level? Well, you know, I kind of looked at the summer that way, too. I wanted to use the summer to get better as a coach and play a lot of basketball games, try different lineups, maybe play some younger kids. But I also wanted to use the summer to try to play in front of college coaches, man. We had the opportunity to go up to the Charlie Hughes every year and play up there in front of a gym full of college coaches or go to shootouts at local colleges. So I always struggled with that as a coach, man. I wanted to obviously put the team first and play a lot of basketball games, get better, kind of gauge how the next season was going. But I also wanted to get my kids in front of college coaches, if that makes sense. That is not even really your question, but that's just kind of what came to my mind when I was thinking about the summer, because I think high school coaches are always juggling those things when it comes to their players, because I always wanted to see my guys, if they wanted to play at the next level, to have that opportunity.
Steve, maybe while you're on that topic, we could talk a little bit about college recruiting in general, because I get hit up often by parents. Some of them might listen to this show. They might have played in leagues and basketball things that I've organized over the years. You know, hey, what can I do to get my kid noticed? He's probably not a Division I player, but I think he can play at a good small college level. And I think that's tricky, because just using Indiana or the Midwest for an example, there are so many really good small college teams. I mean, Bellarmine and some of these local Division II teams have now made the ascent to the Division I level and are having success there. And then some of the NAIA schools, whether it's IU Southeast, who's most local, other schools in Indiana, I mean, they've made deep runs into the NAIA tournament. There's been national champions from our state in the NAIA tournament. So I think it's hard to play any college basketball level. But it's especially hard in our area. And then you've got the transfer portal and the NIL, which has totally changed the upper levels of college basketball. So that has trickled down, I think, even somewhat to the smaller levels. So that's a loaded question, and we could probably spend a whole show on some of these topics. But college recruiting, it's a hard deal for kids these days going through high school basketball, even in Indiana.
Well said. You know, I think that, Think about all the great local players that, I mean, especially in the last 10 to 15 years, it's been, we've had so many kids be successful on the girls' side and the boys' side at the college level. But I still believe, and I was talking to a college coach the other day, I still believe that Southern Indiana is very under-recruited. I mean, there are so many good players that can make programs better, and I just feel like this area, you know, so especially some of the smaller schools or some of the rural schools, I guess, are really under-recruited, a lot of talented players. But I know one thing I did when I was a head coach, and I would advise parents to do the same thing, actually the player to do this, but put together a professional email to introduce yourself to the coach and add your GPA on there, add your ACT, your SAT scores, you know, talk to your college coach, or I'm sorry, your high school coach about, you know, maybe getting a clip or a game film from Huddle, attach that to the email, you know, introduce yourself. And man, I would send hundreds of those emails out to college coaches. You know, and you also have to be realistic, obviously. I heard somebody say one time that every parent that wants their kid to play at the next level should try to go visit a practice at the NAIA level, the Division II level, the Division III level, you know. And it's amazing the amount of talent that's why the percentage is low on kids that play in college. Well, because you get out there you play AAU on the national scene and you're like, man, there are good players everywhere. You know, there's got to be things that separates me to get me to the next level. And one of those is your GPA. One of those is your ACT score. One of those is, you know, being a great teammate and being, you know, having a recommendation from your coach and your high school coach and your AAU coach on being a leader and being a teammate and bringing things positive to the court. So yeah, there's some strategies that would be a great topic to spend a little more time on. But yeah, man, there's so much talent in this area. I'm serious. I'm thankful. I'm proud to be a part of this area because it's such a big part of our culture.
Very well said. Steve Kerberg with us on Thursdays. Thank you, Coach. That's going to wrap things up for our Thursday show. Back on Friday, we'll recap the IU spring football game and a lot more coming your way tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.